And we will hopefully conclude through chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll read that the verses 13 through 18. And then I'm going to finish up on the rapture. Somebody asked me this question, and it was a fair question. Why are you taking so much time on the rapture? Well, there's two reasons I'm taking time to fill this in, and I'll take some more time to go through it next week as well, because I think it's the greatest event that'll happen in our lifetime. And it is absolutely. Now, I know Christ's death and burial and resurrection was the greatest event of all time, I believe. But in our lifetime, and I believe the Lord is going to come in our lifetime, the greatest event that will ever happen is the rapture of Jesus Christ when he raises up the church and we go home to be with him. But the second reason I love preaching on the rapture is the teaching on the rapture is how I got saved. I was at Lake Ann Camp. I'd grown up in church all my life, and I never missed it because my mom and dad didn't have a lot of money to send us to camp, and Lake Ann's more expensive. And so I appreciate the church there. If you went to Sunday school and fill out your Sunday school lesson and attended and did the verses and everything, you could earn your whole way to camp. And so that's what I did. Boy, I never missed. Even if I was sick, I went. Because I wanted to be able to go to camp and I wanted to get it, and I never missed. So I was in every Sunday school church service. I memorized scripture, was in all of it. And then I realized this. I always told you I was 11 or 12, but my mom found a letter, gave home a letter, some letters I used to send from college and different things, and I sent mom and dad a letter home in 1971 when I was 10 years old that I got saved at camp. So I was 10 years old, and I heard the preaching on the rapture for the first time. And it scared me to death, I'll be honest with you, because I knew I wasn't saved. And if the rapture came, I was going to be left behind. And so I remember going back, they had done a series of movies on it, and the preacher preached about it. And then Thursday night, I went back to the cabin to go to bed that night, and my heart was just, it was racing and pumping, and I knew. And so what I did, instead of just getting up and getting saved then, I slid my pillow and blankets down at the end of the bed, opened the window, and put my pillow on the windowsill, and laid down looking up, because if I saw anything happen in the sky, then I'd get saved right away. I didn't understand it was going to happen in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. But I was a 10-year-old kid. Never heard the rapture before. I was afraid to death that I was going to be left behind. I was afraid, literally to death, that I was going to spend an eternity in hell. I fought it on and off, went to sleep, and at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I could take it no more. I jumped up out of my bed, jumped off the top bunk, and went to Roger, our counselor, remember his name, and said, Roger, I don't need you to do anything. We just need to go, and I got to get saved right now. I went in, got on my knees, and of all places, the bathroom, the latrine, that was the only place that had lights. Went in on the floor there, got on my knees, and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Boy, I've never doubted that ever since. And I know if Jesus were to come back today, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. That's why the rapture means so much to me. Because I got saved because somebody stood up and told me that Jesus was coming again. And I don't want anybody to be left behind. Because next week, this week I'll finish out the rapture. But next week, Paul goes into the day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the tribulation period. We're going to take a look, if you're left behind, exactly what somebody left behind is going to face. So that's why Paul wrote this. He had been there for 3 months and talked about the rapture. He told them that it was going to come in their lifetime, but they were a little concerned. Because some thought they had missed the rapture because of all the persecution that was taking place. They thought they were in the day of the Lord leading to the second coming and they'd missed the rapture. There were a couple there, and I don't think it was a lot, but some had quit their jobs saying, if the rapture is going to come, I'm not going to work for these heathen, pagan people. I'm not going to be their slave. They quit their jobs, and Paul wrote in the letter, if you don't work, you don't eat. There were some concerns, but their biggest concern was that what happens to the dead, those who are saved, but they've died since Jesus' resurrection, they've died. What's going to happen to them? What happens to the dead? So that's why Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand this concerning them who are asleep or dead, that ye sorrow not even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we're saved, born again. Even also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them with our sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul said, you don't have to worry about the dead. They're going to go up first. They're going to even go up before you do. What comfort it must have given to them. And then Paul goes on to give us in this passage the sureness of the rapture. That the rapture is going to happen. You can deny it. You can say it's not. You can just say it's fiction out there in the world. It's just your imagination. You can say anything you want, but it's going to happen. And the reason I know it's going to happen, I'm 100% sure it's going to happen, is because, number one, of the death of Jesus Christ. Why did he die? To give us life eternal in heaven. And he said, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I know he's coming because of his death, but I know he's coming again because of his resurrection. He's going to resurrect us up to heaven. I know he's coming again because of his ascension, that he's in heaven, and he's going to take us to be home where he is. I know that Jesus is coming again, and the rapture is going to take place because of his own words that he gave through the Holy Spirit to the authors of the New Testament, that Jesus, that he was coming again. And so I know the sureness of the rapture. Paul talked about the participants, the dead in Christ, and then we which are alive and remain in Christ. It's all for the church, those who've been saved, I think, from the time of Jesus' resurrection. If they died after Jesus' resurrection and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe that's the beginning of the church age. That's where the church begins. Anything below that, I think, is considered the Old Testament. I think those are the Old Testament, and they'll be resurrected, but not at the rapture, but at the second coming of Jesus Christ. The church, all those, so who's going to participate? All those who've died in Christ Jesus. All those who know Jesus Christ and they've died, they will participate in the rapture, as well as all of us who are born again. If Jesus comes in our lifetime, we're still alive. If you're born again, know Christ as your Savior, you'll be raptured out. Those are the participants. And then he gave the order, as we read there. You know, the Lord himself shall descend. If Jesus is coming himself. And he gathers the elect at the second coming. The angels gather the elect to go into the millennial period. But at the rapture, Jesus comes himself, and he has a shout. That shout is saying, come on home, folks. I don't know, it's that word shout could be the same as a command. He commands us to raise, the dead to rise first, and us to rise up with him. There's going to be the voice of the archangel I believe it'll be Michael, the archangel. And there's going to be the trump of God, the trump. I believe everybody's going to hear the trumpet. But I don't think that's a trumpet of call. The command came for us to come up, but it's a trumpet saying, you've overcome sin, you'll never sin. You've overcome death, you'll never die again. You've overcome all the battles of life and all those who've battled cancer like I have and all those who battled diseases and different things you're battling in your life, the physical ailments that just bother you every day, they're gone. The moment you're raised up, you receive that perfect body, that perfect mind for all eternity to worship Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. But the dead in Christ, they'll rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We've talked about this. I don't have to go into a lot of detail on it. But again, here's what I want to park it for a few minutes. I want to park it on this fact. I believe that Jesus is coming again before. That begins the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, I think, is when Jesus comes back at his second coming, but I think the day of the Lord includes all of that tribulation period. And I don't believe the day of the Lord is for you or for the church or for me. I believe it's for the judgment upon Israel, for them rejecting Jesus Christ and him putting them on a shelf. And then it's a judgment upon the Gentile nations that persecuted. And it's a great time of judgment. And then, when we talk about the day of the Lord, we're talking about the 7 days of tribulation. 3.5 years are going to be pretty calm, a little bit calmer. But then it all opens up and it all breaks loose in the last 3.5 years. That 7 years, which precipitates Jesus coming again, and that's what we call the day of the Lord. But here's what I want you to understand. And you say, why is it so important we understand this? Well, I think it's what Paul was trying to do. He was trying to give comfort to the Thessalonica people. They were going through persecution. They were going through a lot of hard times, and he said, in verse 18, he says, comfort one another with these words. He wanted to be comforted. And you know what? If I believe in I call it a pre-tribulation rapture. It means I'm going to be raptured before the day of the Lord, before the tribulation period comes. Now, that doesn't determine your salvation. I'm going to say this very kindly. My sister, because she practices Reformed theology, and this area practices a lot of Reformed theology because of the Reformed churches. The Reformed churches would believe in a number of different things than I. That's why a person coming from a Reformed church may have a hard time coming to a Baptist church. Not because we're weird, but because we teach some different things. And one of the things is prophecy is Reformed teaches that you're a post-tribulation. Because a Reformed theology says Israel and the church are one. I believe Israel was placed upon a shelf and they were pulled out of the tree, and God engrafted us in. And you'll find this in Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 11. That we were grafted in the church. So he put Israel on a shelf and he raised up the church to carry out the same responsibility Israel was to do, was to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. But they chose not to do it and live ungodly and not obey him. So God raised up the church, and that's our now responsibility. But I believe the church is an identity. That's why I believe the church is going to be taken up at the rapture, and they're not going to go through the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, because God had a different plan for the church. But if you do believe in Reformed theology, you would believe that Israel and the church are one. So a lot of things they do, they connect the two together, that the church is just Israel, still alive today. And so, you know, like my sister, she's Reformed theology. She's a Presbyterian. But I tell you what, you want to find somebody who's born again and knows that she's on her way to heaven, that's my sister. So if you're a pre-tribulationist or post-tribulationist, it doesn't affect your salvation. I would never say she's not going to heaven because she's a post-tribulationist. She just has a different belief system than I do when it comes to that. But when it comes to salvation, she believes exactly like I do, that you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he's the only way to get to heaven. You got to know that you deserve an eternity in hell, and only Jesus Christ can save you. But it's more than just knowing it. It's believing it in your heart. It's knowing that you deserve an eternity in hell. See, that night when I was a 10-year-old boy, almost 55 years ago, as I lay on that windowsill looking up, I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I was going to go to hell if I was left behind. I had to get saved. And that's why I've had moments in my life where I didn't live for Christ. I had some rough teenage years. But I've never doubted my salvation. And there was a change that took place within me. I know a lot of people have gotten saved or said they gotten saved, and no change ever takes place. And down the road, they begin to doubt their salvation, because so would I. Because you became a new creation in Christ. But whether you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, the mid-tribulation rapture, or the post-tribulation rapture doesn't determine your salvation. I want you to know that. But because I believe the Bible teaches the pre-tribulation rapture, it gives me comfort. You know why? I'll never go through the tribulation. I'll never see the Antichrist face to face. I'll never have to choose between taking the mark in my forehead or my hand. I'll never have to see the great judgment, the seal judgments, the bowl judgments, the trumpet judgments as God pours out his wrath upon this world. Then he comes back. And every unsaved person at the end of the tribulation in the second coming of Jesus Christ is taken out. You say, man, God is a mean. No, you don't understand how much opportunity they've had to be saved. God's not willing that any die and go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you and for me. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to take the punishment you and I deserve. And so when I think about the rapture, the tribulation, leading into the millennial period, leading into Gehenna hellfire, and a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. When I think about that, I'm very comforted that I believe that the Bible teaches that I'll be gone before any of it takes place on this earth. So you say, why? And that's what I want to go through. I think you need to understand why. Maybe you've heard that term and you say, I'm a pre-tribulation, but you never thought about it. And I'm telling you, if according to Scripture, according to just logic, I think you'll understand why I'm a pre-tribulation rapture. That I'm going to be gone before this takes place. Let me give you just a few reasons. Number one is because Revelation chapter 19, we're not going to take time to turn there, but if you want to know about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the end of the day of the Lord, the total day of the Lord when he comes back and destroys all of mankind that are unsaved on this earth, and it talks about that in Revelation chapter 19, but in all the talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ, which would be post-tribulation rapture, in all of Revelation 19, when they talk about the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ, not the rapture, the second coming, there's not one time in that they mentioned any rapture taking place. So even in Scripture, in Revelation 19, when it talks about the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's no rapture, there's no mention of a rapture taking place whatsoever. If you believe in a post-tribulation rapture, I think you render the rapture concept inconsequential. Why? See, if God preserves the church during the tribulation, And he's going, and he'll, some people are going to be saved during the tribulation, then why have a rapture at all? Think about it for a second. It makes no sense to rapture believers from the earth to heaven for no apparent purpose other than to return immediately to Christ, with Christ to this earth. See, I believe we will come back with Christ at the second coming. So Christ is going to rapture us up after all the tribulation, just in time to come back to this earth with him. See, it makes no sense to me, and this is what even makes less sense to me. That during the millennial period, people, you know, it's interesting. There's going to be one point in time where there's not one Christian on this earth. You know when that is? When the rapture takes place. At that point, and I'm not saying for a long period of time, I believe, because I believe some people are going to get saved immediately as a result of it. But for a period of time, for a short period of time, all the Christians are taken up to heaven, and there is not one born-again believer on this earth, because if they were born again, they would have went up with the rapture. So for a short period of time. But during that time, God is going to see that people are saved because he sends the 144,000 witnesses, and they go and spread the gospel in every tongue, every language. It's not tongues, it's the tongue or language They go, those 144 Jewish evangelists go forth to every known place of the world that people are, and in their tongue they present the gospel with all that's going on. The two witnesses that, you know the story, Pastor Berlin was here and he talked about it. The two witnesses, it was like it was on TV. It was the big thing, and they celebrated Christmas when the two witnesses were killed, and then right on national TV so everybody could see it, they rose up from the dead. You don't think that's going to have an impact? People are going to get saved. But now, people get saved, and we'll talk about this next week during the tribulation. Many of them are going to be beheaded. Satan's not going to like what's taking place because he's the ruler. That's when he becomes the complete control of the earth during that time, because the Holy Spirit is lifted out and he has full reign upon this earth for 7 years. And I sorry to word it like this, but it's almost a hell on earth. But it's not as bad as hell. People tell me this, well, hell can't be much worse. It's hell on earth right now. You know, you don't understand what hell's going to be like. It's an eternal fire and darkness where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, not for one moment. Hell's an awful place. Now, people are going to get saved. And God reserves a remnant. Now, this is what I teach, that the church goes out at the rapture, and then a remnant is saved during the tribulation period, and God preserves them, puts a mark on them. I believe a lot of them are going to be in Petra. That's where they're going to be preserved for the second coming of God when he comes down and destroys the earth. But now stay with me. If you're post-tribulationist, all the people who survived the tribulation will be taken up at their rapture. They believe in a post-tribulation. They'll be taken up. So my question is, who's left to go into the millennial? All the Christians are taken up at the post-tribulation rapture. God comes down and Jesus Christ comes down in the second coming and destroys all the unsaved people. So who goes into the millennial? Well, they would say the people who come back with Christ that he raptured up. But when we raptured up, we receive our glorified bodies. And if you go into the millennium with glorified bodies, how do you repopulation the world, propagate the world? You can't do it with a glorified body. We have the same body angels have. We're not given in marriage or given in marriage. There is no, it's done at that point. And so I have a hard time with the post-tribulation. When you put it logically like that, who does God usher into the millennial period? Now, I guess he could raise you up to heaven and not give them a glorified bodies. I can't comprehend how he'll raise them up and they'll not have a glorified body and then bring them back to the earth and into the millennium. But that makes no sense. I hope you're understanding the logic behind post-tribulation just makes no sense to me. But the pre-tribulation is the church is raised up. Then God sends the 144,000 witnesses and the two witnesses, and they spread the good news, and people get saved, and God has a remnant that when he comes back and destroys all of mankind, all of unsaved mankind, that's when the angels usher those who survived the tribulation and gotten saved during the tribulation into the millennial period where they will live for 1,000 years and be with Christ for 1,000 years. The very city, kingdom that God promised the Jews, he will then deliver. So that's why some reasons why. The New Testament, another reason is the New Testament does not warn of impending tribulation such as will be experienced. Now, I think we need to prepare ourselves for persecution as Christians. We haven't had a lot in America, but around the world, there's a lot of persecution. There's a lot of death taking place that you don't even know about, especially in communist countries where they don't believe in God. They stand against God. So there's more persecution taking place, but you know, we can expect, but nothing like the tribulation. God spares the church because he died for the church. That's why I believe he takes the church out, because you won't find anything for you to prepare for the tribulation. You're to prepare for the rapture, the coming of Jesus Christ to meet him in the air. The Bible says that. But he never says to prepare for the great tribulation where he pours out his judgment, where billions of people die in a short period of time, where earthquakes, wars, famines, I mean, you can't even begin to understand what takes place during that time. None of that is geared toward the church. Why not? Because I believe the church is taken out at the rapture before the tribulation. A fifth reason I wrote down is there seems to be a sequence of events that I believe demands a pre-tribulational rapture. For at the rapture, God gathers his own. But at the second coming, a post-tribulation, the angels gather the elect. At the rapture, the resurrection is prominent. But in regarding to the second coming, Scripture doesn't even mention a resurrection at that time. At the rapture, Christ comes toward believers, but at the second coming, Christ comes to reward believers, but at the second coming, Christ comes to judge the earth. At the rapture, the Lord snatches away true believers from the earth, but at the second coming, he takes away all unbelievers. You know, it's interesting. There'll be a time, I believe, on this earth where there'll not be one saved person after the rapture. But you know, after the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will not be one unsaved person on this earth. You can see the pendulum swing. You can see the tremendous power of our God as we look at these things. Concerning the rapture, Scripture does not mention the establishment of Christ's kingdom. You've never been promised a kingdom. But at the second coming, Christ sets up his kingdom. At the rapture, believers will receive their glorified bodies. At the second coming, no one will receive glorified bodies. I wrote down a sixth reason real quickly. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, it teaches the Lord will remove the church prior to the tribulation. Let me read that for you. It says, because thou hast kept the word of patience, he's speaking to the church in Revelation chapter 3. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation could be the same as Daniel's 70th week. We can call that the tribulation, God's judgment. I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. But he said, I will keep you. Why? Because he's going to rapture you before his judgment ever comes. Christ will honor the church by preventing it from entering into that time of testing, Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation and great tribulation period that will come upon the entire world. Only a pre-tribulation rapture can explain how that can happen. This is why I believe the Bible teaches the rapture comes before the tribulation period, before the wrath of God described during the tribulation period. So, does that determine your salvation? No. But if you put the Bible together, what Christ says about the rapture and about his second coming, if you put it together logically, you come to conclusion that I believe that the church is separate from Israel, and God takes the church out, and then God judges Israel and all Gentile nations during the tribulation. So when I talk about that, I'm a pre-trib rapture guy. I just wanted you to understand, and I hope it makes sense to you. Why? Because it determines your salvation? Absolutely not. But that's why Paul said, comfort one another with these words. You know, it's a great comfort to me. The moment I got saved at Lake Ann Camp, the moment I got saved, a peace just came over me. You know why? I knew I wasn't going to miss the rapture because I was saved. I knew I wasn't going to have to go through the tribulation period. I knew. And I tell you what, there was a joy. And that morning I got up, and that's where I wrote a letter to my mom and dad to let them know that I had trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Comfort one another with these words. So what's the comfort of the rapture? And I'll be done. The benefit of understanding the rapture is not to fill in the gaps of one's prophetic scheme, but as noted at the end of this chapter, that Paul's teaching to the Thessalonians was to comfort them. God grants to all believers the encouraging comfort of knowing that Christ is going to return one day. And at that monumental event, the dead in Christ will be raised, and they'll be joined by the living saints. And I told you I believe this. Now, it may not happen like this, but I believe as he comes back in a cloud, as he ascended up in a cloud, that cloud were the ones who raised. I think he comes back with those who've died before us, and their spirits come back with them, and their bodies meet their spirits in the air. And when we are raised up and we meet him in the air, we all the dead in Christ and us all have that glorified body. That perfect body, that perfect mind. I believe it all takes place before the tribulation period. We'll at that point, we'll experience a complete transformation of the body and soul, and we'll be with God forever and ever. Therefore, there was no need for the Thessalonians to grieve or sorrow as others who have no hope. You know, it's no wonder that in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote this. He said, I look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why did Paul look so forward to the coming of Christ? Well, number one, there'd be no more persecution upon him. But number two, he was going to avoid the tribulation because he understood what it was. Not completely, because John hadn't written Revelation yet, but God had revealed it to him through the Holy Spirit. So I say that to say, number one, if you're not saved, I'm telling you, if the rapture were to come today, you'd be left behind. I don't care if you went to church. I went to church all my life. I never missed a Sunday school for almost 8 years so I could go to camp for free. I memorized every verse. I filled out every Sunday school lesson sheet there was to fill out. Because if you missed a week, you couldn't make it up. I got it done. But that didn't earn me a spot in heaven. I knew all about Christ. But I didn't know him. But that day at camp, as a 10-year-old boy, I found Jesus Christ. What a difference it made in my life. Don't be left behind. But for those of you who look at the prophetic picture, and you see and you believe the Bible, what's going to take place during the tribulation, the great tribulation, the judgment, the great white throne, judgment, everything that's going to take place. Here's the comfort for you. It's not for you if you're born again. Once we're taken out at the rapture, we receive a perfect, glorified body and mind. Now we'll see it all. We'll rule and reign with Christ and David in the millennial period, but we won't be on this earth. We'll see it all happen. I'd like to think I don't see all the people standing in that great white throne judgment. As God says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I hope we don't see that. I pray we don't see it. But God's going to destroy this old earth and this old heaven and create a new heaven and new earth that we're going to spend with him for all eternity. And it all begins with the rapture. Know you're saved. Know you're born again. Know that you're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. As Paul advances on into chapter 5, he talks about the day of the Lord. Chapter 4 is about the rapture. But he gives some insight into the day of the Lord. And I thought it was worth looking into. I hope there's nobody in this room that was like me as a 10-year-old boy. When I heard preaching on the rapture, and I knew I was going to be left behind. Oh, I knew. I knew all about God. I did every Sunday school lesson there was to do. I attended every youth activity that I could attend because every time I went, I got points to go to camp free. I knew it all. But I didn't know him. And I would have been left behind. And so will you. It's up to you to know your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. And then if you know you're saved, comfort one another. Believe that the rapture is going to come before the tribulation. I hope you're a pre-tribulationist rapturist. That God's going to take you home before his judgment comes on this world and Israel.